I'm a grateful believer. I'm an alcoholic who's grateful to be able to come before you tonight fully clothed and in my right mind.
Thank you.
And my name is Ron. Yeah, you can appreciate that one. Let's say a little prayer here before I get started. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for everyone that's here tonight and for those that aren't, that are out there. Watch over them. Watch over all of us. We just love you and praise you and worship you, and we're just so thankful and grateful that you're there and we can have a relationship with you, and you're a loving God that's got something planned for us beyond all of our imagination, and that's our hope and our future, and just help us to just get through all of this as best we can and be as loving and caring and as you were. And so we love you, thank you, praise you. Just help me tonight to be a channel of your communication, to say the words that you want to say, and help me stay to the sidelines. So thank you. Amen. Okay, we're going to do Powerless tonight, lesson number two. We did one a couple weeks ago on denial. So we're just kicking this thing off here. We got 25 lessons. Most of you know we got a lesson 1 week and then a testimony the next week, and up to 25, and then we start over again. These are the most of the lessons and teachings that are in our step studies and whatnot. So we bring it to you here and in the step studies and whatnot. Tonight's lesson is Powerless. Let's read Principle 1 and Step 1 together. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. A word on step studies. It looks like we're going to get a men's step study going in 2 or 3 weeks. So I would like anybody, all the men that haven't signed up or want to make sure we got enough people and whatnot. So there's some paperwork in the back. There's a yellow envelope that says men's step study. So fill out the little paperwork and put it in the envelope, and then we'll be getting a hold of you, and we'll get this thing kicked off hopefully here. So I know there's some need out there right now for this. So I'm anxious to get one going, and hopefully that'll work out. So we're on lesson two tonight. Like you say, a couple weeks ago was denial, step one. Great, great lesson. It's kind of the beginning. I think it's very important to just say to say that, and you want to kick your recovery off with a good foundation, and you know, start at the start. These are in order. There is an order to this. And whatnot, and so to make sure your I's are dotted and T's crossed, and so we're just getting going, and hopefully, you know, you'll stick with this and get something out of this, and kind of do the stuff here. It's helped me tremendously. Wouldn't be here without the steps and all the other things that are around that. In principle one, we realize we're not God. We admit we are powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong thing and that our lives have become unmanageable. As soon as we take this step and admit that we are powerless, we start to change. We see that our old ways of trying to control our hurts, hang-ups, and habits didn't work. They were buried by our denial and held onto with our false power. Tonight, we're going to focus on four actions, two things we have to stop doing, and two things we need to start doing in our recoveries. we need to take these four actions to complete principle one. To me, this is the beginning of the steps and the process of surrender and humility. So in lesson one, we talked about the first action we need to take. One, stop denying the pain. And I put stop denying the problem and the issue and a whole lot of things. We said that our denial had at least six negative effects. It disables our feelings, wastes our energy, negates our growth, isolates us from God, alienates us from our relationships, and lengthens our pain. Lengthens a whole lot of negative things. So that's number one. You're ready to accept principle one when your pain is greater than your fear. And I put your pain is greater than your fear and your denial. And that's what brings most of us in that door back there. In Psalm 6, 2 to 3, David talks about a time when he came to the end of his emotional and physical resources. Pity me, O Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, for my body is sick, and I am upset and disturbed. My mind is filled with apprehension and with gloom. When David's pain finally surpassed his fear, he was able to face his denial and feel the reality of his pain. In the same way, if you want to be rid of your pain, you must face it and go through it. So, simple but not easy. And but that's why we're all here, and that's why we have the tools and things that we have to help us, to help all of us. We help each other, and God helps us. But we got to, you know, we got to do. So, the second is stop playing God. You are either going to serve God or self. You can't do both. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can be a slave to two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He will be loyal to one and despise the other." Another term for serving ourselves is serving the flesh. Flesh is the Bible's word for our unperfected human nature, our sin nature. Flesh is the self-life, self, all about me. It is what we are when we are left to our own devices. At one point in my life, I mean, this really starts the battle between flesh and spirit. And you read the Bible, it's all about, you know, God's a spirit and we're flesh. And, you know, we have to eat, we have to clothe ourselves, we have to take care of our flesh. So it's a constant battle between the two. But it can get overdone, the flesh. I just went my early life was just a complete self, me, flesh. I got married at 18, had my daughter at 18. I just moved out of the house, thought I would have all this freedom, my folks' house, and here I'm in an apartment, and I got a wife and child, and I just always felt like, hey, you know, I didn't get mine, you know, I didn't get my youth to run around there and be crazy, I guess, or I don't know what I was going to do, but so I did all right for a while, and then I just had to run away. I was drinking and gambling and running around, and I just had to take off. So I went to Vegas, when I got to Vegas, I got a job at the MGM Grand, and my boss said, "Takes about a year to separate the men from the boys here." So I guess I wasn't a man because I didn't last a year, and I was almost a year, but I'm getting kicked out, at the MGM. I had a good job at the MGM Grand. They were teaching me to deal poker and all the stuff I thought was so great. And but total self, total, I'm away from parents, I'm away from wife, I'm away from kid, I'm away from all responsibility, and I can just do what I thought I wanted to do. When I look back, I know I had that. It's all about me, and I'll do whatever I darn well please. Thank you very much. And I did. And ended up at the bottom of a snake pit and getting kicked out of Vegas, telling don't come back. You'll never work this town again. So, which just doesn't look real good on the old resume. But so that's where my self takes me, when I just do everything I think that I want to do. When our self is out of control, all attempts at control of self or others fail. In fact, our attempt to control ourselves and others is what got us into trouble in the first place. God needs to be the one in control. There are two jobs, God's and mine. We have been trying to do God's job and we can't. On the flip side, he won't do our job. We need to do the footwork. We need to admit that we are not God and that our lives are unmanageable without him. Then when we have finally emptied ourselves, God will have room to come in and begin his healing work, which is what I did. I emptied myself and I came home. And I want to read step one again, because I just think that just fits in so well. We admitted or acknowledged, took ownership of, we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. And that's the point I got on my own, doing it all myself, doing it Ron's way. So let's go on to the third action we need to take. Three, start admitting our powerlessness. The lust of power is not rooted in our strengths, but in our weaknesses. We need to realize our human weaknesses and quit trying to do it by ourselves. We need to admit that we were powerless and turn our lives over to God. Jesus knew how difficult this is. He said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. When we keep doing things that we don't want to do, and when we fail to do the things we decided we need to do, we begin to see that we do not, in fact, have the power to change that we thought we had. Life is coming into focus more clearly than ever before. And when you drink a lot and then you stop, let me tell you, life definitely comes into focus more clearly than you ever wanted it to. And I had my little thing. So I thought, I came back, I'm going to straighten up my life. I've seen the light, went forward again, rededicated, and thought, just quit drinking, gambling, smoking, all the stuff, and we'll be on our way. And it just didn't work out that easy, I hate to say. So if it were that easy, that we wouldn't need to help one another. We wouldn't need CR or AA or ministry or a whole lot of things. I've learned here that we need all those things. We need each other. We need God. We need tools. You know, it's all a package deal and it's all a process. The last action we need to take is to start admitting that our lives had become unmanageable. The only reason we consider that there's something wrong, or what we need to talk, or that we need to talk to somebody, or that we need to take this step, is because we fully are able to admit that some area or all areas of our lives have become unmanageable. It is with this admission that you finally realize you are out of control and are powerless to do anything on your own. When I got to this part of my recovery, I shared David's feelings that he expressed in Psalms 40:12. Problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins, too many to count, have all caught up with me, and I am ashamed to look up. Does that sound familiar? Only when your pain is greater than your fear will you be ready to honestly take the first step, admitting that you are powerless and your life is unmanageable. So that was the four actions we needed to take. Stop denying the pain, stop playing God, start admitting our powerlessness, and start admitting that our lives have become unmanageable. Tonight our acrostic will help us to focus on the first half of powerless, of the principle one, powerless. Our acrostic tonight demonstrate what happens when we admit we are powerless. We begin to give up the following serenity robbers. I like that term, serenity robbers. That's exactly what it is. So your acrostic tonight, P is for pride. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Yeah. Only ifs, I got a million of them. It's regrets and it's O, only ifs. Worry, W is for worry. If you're writing these down. Sorry? Only ifs. Only if I hadn't gambled all my money away, I'd be rich today. Worry, W is worry. Escape. E is escape. R is resentment. L is loneliness. E, emptiness. And S, selfishness. S, separation. Pride, only ifs. Worry, escape, resentments, loneliness, emptiness, selfishness, separation. Anybody? The first letter in tonight's acrostic is P, pride. Pride ends in a fall, while humility brings honor. Proverbs 29:23. So it's pride versus humility. And that also starts the little tug of war within us. Because we all have some pride. We all have some pride issue to one level or another. And God loves humility. God loves us to be humble, not haughty and high-minded. And yet, we're kind of taught from little kids, the way of the world is pull yourself up by your own bootstrings and like Frank says, I did it my way, heck with everybody else. We're the captain of our ship. And then we realize, that ship starts crumbling and we can't tie our boots anymore and my way, total disaster. Versus humility, God's way, softer way. So that starts that, so that we're mindful of that. And we work on that. That, again, is a process. It just doesn't happen overnight that we get that. But we know what we're trying to achieve, and we work for that. And we help each other to do that. We call each other on our stuff. Now we begin to lose. Pride. Our false pride undermines our faith and it cuts us off from God and others. When God's presence is welcome, there is no room for pride because He makes us aware of our true self. Next, we begin to lose the only ifs. That's the O in powerless. Have you ever had a case of the only ifs or the if onlys? If only they hadn't walked out. If only I had stopped drinking or gambling. If only this, if only that. This is a place of fresh starts and new beginnings. This is a place we can just, we can move on from the only ifs, the regrets. That's not easy either. And I still fight some of that. I just get angry with myself. But we don't have to live that way. We surrender. We lay it at Jesus' feet. We take his yoke upon us and we learn from him. Not my way, but his way. The big do-over. That's what that's all about. But, you know, God cleanses us of all that, no matter what age or what we've done, and it's a new beginning. How reluctantly the mind consents to reality, but when we admit that we are powerless, we start walking in the truth rather than living in the fantasy. Oh, I think I already read that. The next letter in powerless is W, which stands for worry. And don't tell me that worrying doesn't do any good. I know better. The things I worry about never happen. All right, that's John's joke, not mine. So. All worrying is a form of not trusting God enough. Instead of worrying about things that we cannot possibly do, we need to focus on what God can do. How big is your God? Keep a copy of the Serenity Prayer in your pocket and your heart to remind you. By working this program and completing the steps, you can find that trust, that relationship with the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, so that the worrying begins to go away. Matthew 6:34 tells us, "Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." I like that word relationship in here also. I have a better relationship now with Christ than I ever have. And it's not perfect, but it's there. And we all can have, we have a relational God that wants that. He wants us to check in. He wants us to ask of him. He wants us to worship him. And it's a great deal. The next thing that happens when we admit we are powerless is that we quit trying to escape. That's the E. Before we admitted we were powerless, we tried to escape and hide from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups by getting involved in unhealthy relationships, by abusing drugs such as alcohol, by eating, not eating, and so forth. Trying to escape pain drains us of precious energy. When we take this first step, however, God opens true escape routes to show his power and grace, for the light is capable of showing up everything for what it really is. It is possible for the light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. Jesus shined the light on my shame, my guilt, my mistakes, my self-centeredness, and hopefully that light can reflect back. I can realize that, be healed of that, be forgiven of that, and my light reflects back to help others, hopefully, as best as I can. I can just offer it. And so we get a purpose here. We have something that we can relate to on that level and help others. The R in powerless stands for resentments. If they are suppressed and allowed to fester, resentments can act like emotional cancer. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, 26-27, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." As you continue to work the principles, you will come to understand that in letting go of your resentments, by offering your forgiveness to those who have hurt you, you are not just freeing the person who harmed you, you are freeing you. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says resentments are the number one offender. They're like the number, the biggie. And there, I mean, my anger, and I can, I just like I shut God down like that in my unforgiveness and my anger and my wanting retribution at you and yada, yada, yada. And forgiveness is so huge. Forgiveness is such a huge key, and we have a whole lesson on that later. Just touched on here, but it's just one of the greatest tools here. It's just such a freer upper, I guess, if that's such a thing for us. If we try to maintain our false power, we become isolated and alone. That's the L in powerless, loneliness. When you admit that you are powerless and start to face reality, you will find that you do not have to be alone. Do you know that loneliness is a choice? In recovery and in Christ, you never have to walk alone again. Do you know that caring for the lonely can cure loneliness? Get involved. Get involved in the church or in the neighborhood or here at Celebrate Recovery. If you become a regular here, I guarantee that you won't be lonely. Continue to love each other with true brotherly love. Don't forget to be kind to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Hebrews 13:1-2. I thank God for my sponsor early on in my recovery, taught me about the fellowship and got me involved in the fellowship, which I thought was just kind of a, hey, let's get to God and let's get the good stuff. But I really don't, I don't want to talk to a lot of people, and I don't want to be around a lot of people, and he just pushed the fellowship. I had to surrender to it. He told me to go to coffee with people, and I don't want to go to coffee. They have their clique, and they sit there and joke with each other, and I just sit there like a bump on a log. And he said, well, good, sit there like a bump on a log. And I did that. I went with gritted teeth. And he said, you sit there long enough, they'll have to, you know, they have to say something to you, you know, or whatever. And it was just like out of the comfort zone, I just had to get so much garbage out of my head. And it, you know, it wasn't all about me, and it, you know, it wasn't that I was different and all this stuff. So I went and sat with them, and he was right. Pretty soon, you know, we got to talking and didn't really take all that long, and communicating, and that became the fellowship and the people. Back then, AA, this wasn't here yet. Steps were here and whatnot, but that really saved my bacon. I mean, to have other people, we started doing a lunch. Pretty soon, then I'm the guy at the meeting saying, hey, let's go to coffee. You know, pretty soon I'm the click. And now you got to work your way in, you know. So how's that? But I had a guy. I was 6 months sober, and I had a guy who was so. It was like I'm ready to leave. I'm like, you know, this just isn't working. I'm doing all this stuff. My sponsor's telling me. I feel like a white shoot insurance salesman at the meeting, shaking everybody's hand and acting like this. He looks at me. Because I used to have what I call blanket days. I would get so depressed. I would just go in my bed and pull the covers over and just get off the street. I just didn't want to be out somewhere where I was going to do something foolish. And he says, you haven't talked about a blanket day in 3 months. And I thought, oh, wow, he's right. And I thought, I haven't had. And I was actually improving and not even knowing it. My mind had, you know, got to be careful of your mind. I mean, it will make you crazy. And fool you and trick you, and Satan's in there twisting things around. And so I got that input. And if I wouldn't have gone to the coffee and done this stuff that I thought my sponsor was, you know, something wrong with him. You know, it's like, you know, who cares about this stuff? And that became to me one of the bigger things. I needed audible direction, audible voice. I hear more now from God. Back then, I don't know who I was hearing from. You know, so. I needed people that were successful ahead of me How did they do it? What did they do? What are they recommending? What do they see in me? I need a nice, loud, audible, yelling voice to get through. And that happened. Where was I? Loneliness. When you admit you, okay, we're on emptiness. Is that where we were? Anybody? Okay. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness, John 10:10. So let him fill the emptiness inside. Tell him how you feel. He cares. Again, relationship. S. Next, you will notice that you're becoming less self-centered. The first S stands for selfishness. I have known people who have come into recovery thinking that the Lord's Prayer was, "Our Father who art in heaven, give me, give me, give me." Luke 17:33 says, "Whoever clings to this, his life, shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall save it." Simply said, selfishness is at the heart of most problems between people. Amen, amen, amen. Self-pity, ego, self-centeredness, what's in it for me, where's mine? What am I, chopped liver? That's one of my favorite, the daily battle again to just not go there and get out of self. Sponsor says, go help somebody else and get out of yourself. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Last thing that we give up when we admit that we are powerless is separation. Some people talk about finding God as if he could ever be lost. Separation from God can feel real, but it is never permanent. Remember, he seeks the lost. When we can't find God, we need to ask ourselves, who moved? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't God. When I sin, purposely or not, or you know, some of the bigger stuff, this wall comes down. I mean, I see that now. Before, I oblivious to anything spiritual, but I love my relationship with Christ because there is one now, and when I do things I shouldn't be or whatnot, and I know it, and I just feel that wall comes down, and it's you know, I don't like that, so it motivates me to walk the path, to do the best I can. And that's because I don't want that separation. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't. And all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Romans 8:38-39. The wrap up. The power to change only comes from God's grace. Are you ready to truly begin your journey of recovery? Are you ready to stop denying the pain? Are you ready to stop playing God? Are you ready to start admitting your powerlessness? To start admitting that your life has been unmanageable? If you are, share it with your group tonight. I encourage you to start working and living this program in earnest. If we admit we are powerless, we need a power greater than ourselves to restore us. That power is your higher power, Jesus Christ. So it's a process. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Just come, let it happen, surrender to it. God will work it out. God's not going to do anything more than you can handle or what. You know, and that type of thing. So just take it one step at a time, you know, one day at a time, as they say, and it'll work out. You'll end, it's so clean to end up where you know God wants you or where this is. It's just right. It's righteousness is what it means. It's right. You'll be right. Dear God, let's pray. Dear God, your word tells me that I can't heal my hurts, hang-ups, and habits by just saying that they are not there. Help me. Parts of my life, or all of my life, are out of control. I now know that I cannot fix myself. It seems the harder that I try to do the right thing, the more I struggle. Lord, I want to step out of my denial into the truth. I pray for you to show me the way. In your Son's name I pray, amen. Thank you all very much for listening.